بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. This is our 8th session on Islamic philosophy based on lesson 5 of the book Philosophical Instructions by Ayatollah Mesbah Yazdi. The general title of this lesson is Philosophy and Science. The author starts with an introduction to different usage of the term philosophy and science, and also the combination of these two together. You may have noticed that in some books, in some articles and papers, sometimes they use philosophy as a single discipline. For example, they say Islamic philosophy, Western philosophy. Sometimes they add philosophy to another discipline. For example, they say philosophy of science, or philosophy of experimental science, or philosophy of natural sciences, or philosophy of law, philosophy of jurisprudence, with philosophy of morality. So we want to see what is the meaning of philosophy in this sort of usage. The author says that we can distinguish between two ways in which the term philosophy may be added to another discipline. Sometimes when they say philosophy of something, they just mean that this discipline is a philosophical discipline. For example, if they say that we are talking about philosophy of theology, or for example, philosophy of morality, so it may just mean that this is a sort of theology which is philosophical, or a sort of moral investigation which is philosophical. Like, for example, when they say science of physics, science of chemistry. So when they say science of physics, it doesn't mean that physics is something and science of physics is something else. No, they are the same. This is just to show that physics is considered as a form of science. But what is more important is another usage of the term philosophy, and that is to refer to a sort of introductory discussions about a discipline which one needs to know and to be aware of before starting that discipline. For example, if you want to study law, so before you study law, you need to know the definition of law, the subject matter of law, the aim of law, something about the history of law, different methodologies of legal studies, and all these preparatory discussions must be studied before one can make a legal position or legal judgment. Of course, if someone wants just to know something about law, they directly goes into the legal discussions. But if someone wants to be expert in law, must have already established his own positions, his own views about those preparatory issues, and then he can enter into the legal field. Or, for example, if you want to know jurisprudence, if you want to issue, for example, some fatwas to express your judgments and views about some Islamic practical rulings. So first of all, you must know what is jurisprudence, what is fiqh, what is the aim of fiqh, what is the source, what are the sources on which a faqih or jurist must base his studies, what are the aims and objectives of fiqh, and what is the proper methodology of fiqh. All these things must be studied. So you may call this is philosophy of jurisprudence. So sometimes when they say philosophy of something, philosophy of a discipline, they mean a set of introductory, preparatory discussions which help the student or the scholar of that discipline to enter into that discipline in a very wise and very insightful manner. I think there can be also another usage of the term philosophy when it is combined with other discipline, which is not mentioned in the book. Perhaps the author has considered this as a form of the second, which we just mentioned. But maybe you could distinguish between what I'm saying and the one we just finished. And that is to mean by philosophy of a discipline an intellectual reflections, an intellectual reflection on some discipline. Or you could say intellectual or rational studies of a discipline. For example, please be very careful. For example, in natural sciences, you study different forms of matter, different forms of the physical matter. In some science, you are concerned with the motions. In some sciences, you are concerned with, for example, biological studies. But in general, in natural sciences, you are trying to study the nature. But philosophy of natural sciences is not concerned with the nature. Philosophy of natural sciences is a rational, intellectual discipline whose subject matter is natural science. So you have a first order discipline, which is natural science, and then you have something above that, which is philosophy of natural science. And there are many, many complicated issues which are discussed in philosophy of natural sciences. For example, how is it possible to come to know something in science? Do we have the chance to prove something by experimental method, or just we can have confirmation by gathering evidence, or for example, just we must make sure that there is no falsifier? So there are different views. Anyway, philosophy of a discipline may mean this, may mean a sort of intellectual or rational reflections, studies, investigations about another discipline. For example, when we say philosophy of economics, we may mean a sort of philosophical reflection about economics. So you choose economics as your subject matter and try to explore the aim of economics, the significance of economics, the methods of economics, where should we direct our economics, and so on and so forth. This is very similar to the second, but maybe different, and maybe is more than just some preparatory discussions, which usually and traditionally was referred by our scholars as رؤوس سمانیه, because they used to mention 8 different items before one can enter in a science. So this is a very important usage, and the author himself in many books has done this sort of philosophical investigations about philosophy of, for example, morality, which you could also call moral philosophy, about economics, about jurisprudence, and so on and so forth. Okay, this is about philosophy of sciences or philosophy of a certain discipline. The other term is metaphysics. If you remember, once I shortly explained the term metaphysics and how this term was derived from two Greek terms. So for example, if you refer to the works in Greek philosophy after Aristotle, this term is not known before Aristotle. If you refer to the works in Greek, philosophical works in Greek, after Aristotle, after the works of Aristotle were compiled by his students, you realize that traditionally they call a certain way of studying beings and things metaphysics. Please be very careful here. They traditionally used to call a certain way of studying beings metaphysics. So we want to see what is metaphysics and how this term come into existence. Meta in Greek means after. And physics is derived from a term in Greek which is called physika. So physika meant nature. And meta, which indeed was metata, meant after. But then it was shortened and the abbreviation was meta. So metaphysica, which is metaphysics that we use today, means after nature. So when the student of Aristotle was compiling his works, he thought that it would be appropriate to put this work, which studies general qualities of being, after the work on natural sciences. So when he said metaphysics or metaphysica in that language, he just meant that this comes in order after the discussion about nature and natural sciences. This is very important because some people have misunderstood and they thought that metaphysics means transphysics, means that this is something beyond physics. This is something that studies natural, studies supernatural beings. And this is not correct. Because in metaphysics, when we discuss about general qualities of being, qua being, or being as such, we have many, many propositions that can be applied to both natural and supernatural beings. So in metaphysics, you have many things that apply to ordinary beings. When we say that, for example, al-wujudu emma wajibun aw mumkinun, being is either necessary or contingent. And then we discuss about different qualities of contingent beings. So these all apply to the natural beings as well. So we shouldn't think that metaphysics means a sort of theology which is related and concerned with God the Almighty. Or for example, it is a combination of theology and knowledge of angels and spirits and so on. No. Metaphysics just mean a science, a discipline, a sort of philosophical investigation whose subject matter is general, is not a certain sort of being, is not, for example, figure as algebra, is not shape as mathematics, is not human body as medicine, is not life as in biology. No, metaphysics is a science, is a discipline which studies general qualities of being as such, or being qua being. Therefore, It is like a mother science for all these different sciences that we have. Of course, metaphysics is also possible to be studied before natural sciences. It was just something, perhaps some just personal idea of the student of Aristotle who put this after natural sciences, or because he thought that the people must first start with natural sciences, which are easier to understand, and then come to metaphysics, so that he put it after natural sciences. But it is also possible to have it before. Indeed, there were some Muslim philosophers who used to call this, instead of ma ba'da tabi'ah, which means after physics, ma qabla tabi'ah, means before physics. So this is something that does not that much make any difference. It's just a matter of preference and a matter of considering the ability and the capacity of the students who want to study, whether they are able to start with philosophy in the beginning or not, whether their minds are very theoretical or not. Anyway, in the course of history, metaphysics included in many ages, in many works, among many philosophers, included also theology. Why? Because when you talk about general qualities of being, so you come to the division of being into perfect and imperfect, into necessary and contingent. And naturally, you come to discuss about God the Almighty, who is the most perfect being, who is the necessary being, who is the prime and first being, who is the creator of all other beings and sustainers of all other beings. So, a part of metaphysics traditionally has been considered theology. But there are also some people who distinguish between metaphysics and theology. So, they discuss about metaphysics separately and then discuss about theology afterward. And some people have called them both metaphysics. So in metaphysics, they talk about theology as well. Some people have called both theology. And then they say theology in narrower sense is just about God. Theology in broader sense is about any sort of being. So they call metaphysics al-ilahiyyat bil-ma'na al-a'am. And they call the traditional theology al-ilahiyyat bil-ma'na al-akhas. So al-ilahiyyat bil-ma'na al-a'am means theology in the broader sense, and al-ilahiyyat bil-ma'na al-akhas means theology in narrower sense. Anyway, this is not making any problem for us. What is important is to go beyond the terms, beyond the expressions, and have a clear idea about the relations of these disciplines. So, when we have natural sciences, our investigation is limited to the nature and the material beings. But when we talk about being as such, or being qua being, we are not limiting that to any form of being. So, our discussion applies to all forms of being, whether it be material or immaterial, whether it be mortal or immortal, whether it be spiritual or non-spiritual, whether it be concrete or abstract. So we discuss about all forms of being. And this discussion must be separated from the discussion about natural sciences. So you can call it physics or metaphysics or before physics. It's not that much important if you know what you are calling, because some people, you know, sometimes are very interested in introducing very new and strange terminologies. So sometimes they may call something in a way that does not fit in with. But it's not very important. Even if you want to call it physics, as long as you make it clear what you mean by physics here, it's okay. Of course, the best way, the logical way, the reasonable way is to use a terminology and to introduce and coin some terms which are proportionate to the idea that you have in mind, which cannot be misunderstood easily, which cannot confuse human minds easily. Anyway, so we have metaphysics, and I hope you realized what is the meaning of metaphysics and what is the relationship between metaphysics and theology. Now the question arises that what is the relation between metaphysics and philosophy? If you mean by philosophy what the people in the time of Socrates and other people meant, and that was a very comprehensive and general title for all sorts of real sciences, including theoretical sciences and practical sciences. So the only exception was the conventional sciences. If you mean by philosophy that, so metaphysics would be a form of philosophy. If you look at the screen, so we had here philosophy or wisdom, and then we had this division of philosophy to theoretical and practical, and then the theoretical was divided into natural sciences, mathematics, and first science, which was metaphysics or theology, and so on and so forth. So according to this way, which was very popular in the time of Socrates and later and also among Muslim philosophers, so philosophy is more general than metaphysics, which is here. If you take philosophy in the way that people in the medieval ages used to take, and that is to include philosophy inside philosophy, even the conventional sciences, so metaphysics will be still much more limited, because if you include conventional sciences inside philosophy, so philosophy will be more expanded. So when you have more expansion of philosophy, so metaphysics will be more limited compared to the philosophy in this meaning. But if you mean by philosophy what has become conventional in modern age and afterwards, after Renaissance, so when those experimental sciences, humanities, all natural sciences have been excluded from philosophy, so now you may have a usage of philosophy which is equal to metaphysics. So many people today, when they say philosophy, they mean metaphysics or something similar to metaphysics. And when they talk about philosophy of mind, philosophy of language, philosophy of morality, and other similar disciplines, they mean just intellectual and rational reflections upon the given discipline. Okay, so I hope we knew the relation between philosophy and metaphysics. Now let's see the relation between metaphysics and philosophy on the one hand, and science. This is also important. Again, if you want to understand the relation between metaphysics and philosophy and science, we should know what you mean by science. You remember that we had different usage for the term science. Sometimes by science you just mean a fact, something that you know, knowledge. Sometimes you mean real knowledge, sometimes you mean real and conventional knowledge, sometimes you mean a set of propositions which are related to each other. Sometimes maybe you just mean a set of propositions which are related to each other, which can be discussed in a positive way through experiments in the way that Auguste Comte and other positivists mentioned. So you should tell us first, what do you mean by science, so that we can tell you what is the relation between science and philosophy. Sometimes philosophy can be a form of science. Sometimes philosophy can be equal to science. But if you mean by science modern science, experimental science, and by philosophy you mean metaphysics, so you must know that these are two separate disciplines. Please be very careful. If you mean by science just modern science, just experimental science, the science that positivists mention, and you mean by philosophy a very general and fundamental discussion about the world, a study of being qua being. So philosophy is separate from science, and these are two separate things, and science in many ways depend on philosophy. There are many issues that you must first decide in philosophy, clarify in philosophy, so that you can have a wise scientific investigation. And this is why we said that philosophy or metaphysics is like a mother science, a mother discipline for experimental sciences. And inshallah, when we talk about epistemology, about theory of knowledge, we will see how metaphysics and philosophy help us to come to a proper knowledge about the world, and how our experimental knowledge is dependent upon our philosophical propositions. So this is also very important. The other issue that we should discuss today is about the way we can classify, we can categorize sciences. There are different ways. One way is to classify according to the methodology, to methods that each science applies. For example, traditionally, we have all been told that there are three methods of discovering the facts about the world around us. If you look at the screen, please look at the screen. Okay. So, method of a study can be divided into three. First is the rational or intellectual method. So you think, you reflect, you bring arguments, and you just follow the logical procedure of producing arguments. The other method is the experimental method. So in experimental method, what you need is to go and observe, to go and make some experience. And you know the difference between observation and experience. So in observation, you just go and observe. In experience, you may need to create a situation so that you can have your experience. So it's maybe artificial. But in observation, you go into the nature and you can observe something. And then we have narrative. We have narrative method. So in the narrative method, we follow the narrations and historical documents. So rational or intellectual methods can be used in philosophy, This is just an example. There are other intellectual sciences. Experimental, like, for example, physics. Like, for example, biology. And narrative, like history. So there are three different ways. Some people put it in this way. They say in rational study, what you need is to sit and think. In experimental method, what you need is to go and see. And in narrative study is go and ask. This is a very beautiful way of putting these three different methods into words. So these are the ways that we can classify sciences. So sciences can be considered either as rational or intellectual sciences, or experimental sciences, or narrative sciences. Of course, these three ways are all related to the conceptual knowledge. There is another form of investigation which is in parallel to all these three, and that is knowledge by presence. Al-ilm al-huzuri, which is through intuition, of course, in a special sense, through a spiritual vision. So this is different. But because knowledge by presence cannot be communicated, and it's limited to the person who has this knowledge, so the ordinary ways of communicating and transmitting science to others is one of these three: either rational method, or experimental method, or narrative method. So this is one way of classifying sciences according to their methods. And this is very useful. Before starting any discipline, we must know the methodology. The other way is to classify sciences according to the aims, according to the objectives, according to the goals. We must know that what is the benefit of learning this science, what is the benefit of learning that science. This is also one way. The other way is to classify them according to their subject matter. So if we could have a classification of subject matters, then automatically we could have a classification of the related and relevant sciences and disciplines. For example, we say that being as such, or being qua being, is studied in metaphysics. Physical beings, for example, in natural sciences. And quantities in mathematics. Human values and characters, for example, in ethics, and so on and so forth. This is the third way of classification. So sometimes you classify according to the methods, sometimes according to the aims, and sometimes according to the subject matter. The other issue is regarding the relation between the subject matter of each science or discipline and derivative problems of that issue. Sometimes you have a universal concept, and then in the derivative problems of that science, you have its individual cases, its instances. For example, you have being as such, or being qua being, as a subject matter of philosophy, and then you divide it into different forms, different types, and then you discuss about each. For example, about contingent being and about necessary being, about abstract being, about concrete being. But sometimes you have a whole and then its parts, not a universal and its types or sorts. No. Sometimes you just have a whole, like for example human body. In medicine, you study human body. But in branches of medicine, you may study human eyes, ears, or for example tissues, or for example blood circulation system. So these are parts of human body, not different forms of human body. This is also a sort of relation that may exist between a subject matter and derivative subject matters of derivative problems. The other issue, which is the last issue in this discussion, is about the way that we may make sciences and disciplines into a smaller disciplines. Because, you know, by the passage of time and by expansion of human knowledge, gradually sciences are broken into a smaller sciences, smaller pieces. Once, perhaps all medicine was considered as a science and indeed as part of philosophy. But now medicine itself has many, many branches, and many of them can be considered as an independent medicine in a sense, because they need independent investigations. Of course, they are related to each other and they depend on each other. But because of the massive expansion of these sciences, so they need to be discussed separately, and one has to have a special expertise for each. So this is quite possible. Islamic sciences also have grown a lot and have expanded a lot. Nowadays it's very difficult, it's perhaps impossible for a single person to be expert in all Islamic sciences. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's very, very difficult, because Islamic philosophy itself has expanded a lot.